As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Tuesday, March the 22nd, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts, always news, and hard to say good news. Facts, that's for sure. From time to time, we even advance solutions. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you are certainly not alone. You are certainly not alone, not on the face of this planet. But you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Although Libya has given freedom a bad name, I'll tell you that. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of the day. You can simply jump into the chat room, becomevocallocal.com, and join the chatters in there. You can pick up the telephone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air from around America and around the world. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via email, as so many do, at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. And that's P.O. Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Once again, a big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri. Micro 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York. 94.3 Elgin, Texas. And 100.1 FM Austin, Texas. Real Liberty Media Channel 16 and TalkStream Live for broadcasting. Become vocal local this morning to their local listening audiences. And I thank you very much for doing so. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals this morning, treading water in a narrow trading band. Equities climb as fresh blood is spilled. You know, UN-Libya war. Japanese death toll continues to climb. Nuclear fishing and oil. Nothing satisfies like war. Makes me sick to even have to come on the air this morning. Of course, we'll take your calls, however, and much, much more. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold trading off $5.10 at $1,422.00. 1422 on March the 22nd. Curious, isn't it? You got enough money, you can make the numbers look any way you want. Silver this morning down 22 cents at $35.88. Platinum off $14 even at $1,732. Palladium off $14 even at $732. These numbers look rigged to you. They certainly do to me. The lows and the highs of the gold spot market this morning, $1,420.70 for a low, $1,433.40 for a high. But at $1,422, your gold would be up $319.20 an ounce for a 28.95% return on your investment. London gold fix this morning, the price fixtures in London, it's the London Bullion Market Association, set the price at $1,425.50. Was trading below that as of airtime. The London, the SPDR gold shares overnight, get this now, write it down. They sold 10.62 metric tons of their gold last night. 10.62 metric tons. You won't find that on the front page of Bloomberg, however. That's a large gold sale. Anyway, they're claiming this morning in their electronic treasure chest to be holding 1,215.78 metric tons, valued on the street at these bullion prices at $56 billion. We'll be right back.
Every day you hear the news. As an American citizen, I'm sure you're concerned. You may even feel like you have no control. Of course, you can't control things like natural disasters or the real estate meltdown, but these days, a number of Americans are returning to the practice of being self-reliant by keeping food and water in reserve. That's why you need BeFoodReady.com. BeFoodReady.com has high-quality, delicious foods that are savable and storable. The foods are dehydrated, so all you need to do is add water. They're made from premium-grade fresh raw fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and other high-quality ingredients. Our stuff is awesome, and it's available in single packets for less than $2 a serving. When you buy it in the packs, it can be 91 cents or less, depending on the package that you're getting. And these foods can be stored for as long as 15 years. Log on to our website to watch a short video, learn about our food selections, how to start your own business, and how you can try 6 meals for free. Log on to BeFoodReady.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. Day complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, March the 22nd, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, for the benefit of our affiliate stations away at the top of the hour news and weather break. Let's go through our market report one more time and recap. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, found gold trading off $5.10 an ounce at $1,422. Silver off 22 cents at $35.88. Platinum off 14 bucks at $1,732. Palladium off $14 at $732. Wow. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,420.70 for a low, $1,433.40 for a high. Gold is up $319.20 this morning at 28.95% return on your investment. As I mentioned in the previous segment, the SPDR gold shares overnight. Now, this is your Barclays Global, you know, advisor, State Street and all that. Rothschild money behind this. At least they were pushing the World Gold Council. The SPDR gold shares overnight pairs off 10.62 metric tons. This morning claiming to hold 1,215.78 metric tons in their electronic treasure chest, valued at about $56 billion at these gold bullion prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, boy, ain't they happy, up 178 yesterday on the news of fresh blood, especially killing children with the cruise missiles. They like that. That bounced the Dow Jones up to 12,000, closing at 12,037. The NASDAQ, feasting on this frenzy of blood, also went up 43, closing out at 2692. And not to be undone, the S&P 500, loving blood as much as any of the rest of them do, up 19 at 198. Crude oil this morning off 85 cents, but, you know, hey, they're going to start another oil company in Libya. Yeah, that's right. The Freedom Fighters are going to start their own oil company. Oil this morning off 85 cents at $101.48, about $40 too much per barrel for my taste. 75.31 is the U.S. dollar index. You can find out about that if you go up and look at theice.com. Isn't that fitting? Theice.com, the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc.'s trading website there. Off 12 basis points at 75.31. The foreign exchange rates this morning, as a result of this move in the USDX, the Canadian loonie off of 10 basis points at $1.02 U.S. The Mexican peso off 2 basis points at 8 cents. The euro down 1 basis point at $1.42. The British pound up 25 basis points at $1.64. And the Swiss franc up 10 basis points. All these little moves are almost flat. All right, in the foreign exchange rates, it's like freeze frame going on here. Everybody seems to be treading water and going laterally. But the Swiss franc up 10 basis points at $1.11. You like that? Anyway, the bond market this morning, the yield on the 2 years is at 0.66. You know, 66 degrees of Freemasonry. 10-year at 3.35%. The 30-year stands at 4.46%. So if you're trying to get rid of or unload your bonded indebtedness or buy more of it, those are your rates. Of course, that impacts the mortgage market, where this morning we find the fixed rate, 15-year mortgages, moving down from 4.24%, now below 4 at 3.99, trying to entice people in to buy some of this toxic mortgage material that's out there. They can't seem to get anybody to come out and buy a house, but they haven't figured it out yet. People are broke. They're unemployed. And with the outlook of the future that we see right now, ain't nobody's going to need sunglasses anytime soon. Prime rate this morning at 3.25%. I guess the good news is the gold-to-silver ratio continues to move upward. The gold-to-silver ratio this morning, it'll take you 39.63 ounces of gold to pick up 1 ounce of silver. Well, so there's more out there today. We're going to look at the ICSC Goldman store sales and get that. We'll listen to a little bit or look at a little bit of the existing home sales and the EIA petroleum status and some of the other things. But I've got a new system running, or at least a new concept, and we'll have to play around and see how it works. But before I go into the news and the rest of the news, and there's a bunch of it, I want to share a little bit from a encyclopedia article about Woodrow Wilson. You know, we look at WW1 and WW2, Worldwide War. It was actually, should have been three W's, you know, Worldwide War number one and Worldwide War part 2.0. But if you look at the way it's remembered, it's WW1 and WW2. Of course, you can go right back to W, right? George Herbert Walker Bush and George Walker Bush and the rest of the Walkers and the Bushes and the Bushes and the Walkers. But Woodrow Wilson, that would be a WTW, 27th President of the United States, born in Staunton, Virginia, in 1856, died in Washington, D.C. of 1924. He was the son of a Scotch-Irish parents. We live in Pennsylvania, Canada, and Ohio. James Wilson, his paternal grandfather, emigrated from Ireland in 1807. At the time, Wilson was about a year old. The father, Reverend Joseph R. Wilson, became the pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Augusta, Georgia, where the family remained until 1870. So he comes from a religious background. We dropped down quite a bit in the article here. At Princeton, Wilson took the rank as a leader among his fellows, attained a fair standing in his class, but made it plain to all that wide reading and close study of public affairs were his chief interests. Wide reading and a close study of public affairs. Kind of what I do on a regular basis. A lot of close study of public affairs. We do that on a daily basis. He and his family were already close observers of British politics. All right? This is how you cross the puddle. All right? Gladstone being a hero in their circle, Wilson showed this interest. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, by the way. Jeremy Bentham, James Mill, John Stuart Mill, and the rest of the crowd. All right, anyway. Wilson showed this interest in a remarkable article published while he was still an undergraduate in the International Review, in which the germ of his first book was uncovered. And it continues. True to his bent, he abandoned the law and entered John Hopkins University. It seems most of our presidents have abandoned the law, haven't they? He joined John Hopkins University in 1883, where he wrote his first book, Congressional Government. published in 1885. That's a book I'd like to get. Congressional Government. I'd like to see where his mind was at this time. The same autumn, he began teaching history and political economy at Bryn Mawr College. And the next year, somewhat against his wishes, he took his examination at Johns Hopkins and was awarded the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, then so highly prized among college teachers everywhere, the philosophes. In 1888, he went to the Wesleyan University, Middletown, Connecticut, as a professor of history and political economy. There he gained a grip upon student life and opinion that marked all his later educational career. Let me tell you, folks, when somebody gets to be a university professor and can stay there for any length of time, they have a profound ability to influence the minds of the upcoming generations. This is one of the reasons why we have to be so very careful and pay attention to academia and all of the educational processes that your tax dollars underwrite and your hard-won savings go to spend, you know, to put your children through these schools. But you can get some worm in there like a Saul Alinsky or Yelena Kagan or you name it, and they can just sit there like a poisonous pill and putrefy the minds of the young. In 1890, Wilson was called to Princeton again as professor of jurisprudence and political economy. Of course, when we study politics and the economy, and from Gustavus Myers, we learn that so many of the lawyers became economists. We'll be right back.
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays
for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So back to this article out of the Encyclopedia Americana in regards to Woodrow Thomas Wilson. Very interesting article here, really reveals quite a bit. He was, if you recall, Wilson was the 27th president of the United States. But again, in 1890, Wilson was called to Princeton as a professor of jurisprudence and political science, right? Philosopher, economist, etc., which position he held until 1910. You got the time period? We're writing on top of Gustavus writings, Gustavus Meyer's writings again, and all the other stuff we've been studying for the last couple of months. 1910. It's 100 years ago, folks. Looking at the centennial of tyranny and its development. When he ceased his connection with the university, become the governor of New Jersey. Interesting how that works, isn't it? As professor at Princeton, he practically founded the Department of Political Science, as it is now taught in all American universities. I think he didn't have any influence. Guess again, his power over students. Isn't that what we said about another shark? What's this guy's name? Leo Strauss, remember? Leo Strauss, the philosophical mentor of the neocon movement, Paul Wolfowitz and William Crystal and Irving and the rest of the bunch. His power over students. His activity as a leader in the rapid development of the college into a university, his many articles for periodicals, his lectures in various parts of the country, and his books raised him to the foremost position in the faculty. And when President Patton resigned in 1902, he was chosen to head the university, at once set about far-reaching reforms. American colleges and university students, reflecting the growing riches of their parents, had already become loiterers at their work. You may not recall, I'll just bring it to your attention, that the same sort of a phenomena was at work leading up to the French Revolution. After the church lands were all seized and the rich people's lands were all seized, it left all of these rich guys with nothing to do. Had all kinds of titles and status and plenty of money backing them up, but they had nothing really to do. And as they say, idle hands make the devil's plaything. But anyway, they went to work then, and they work here. Wilson endeavored to compel them to study. Instead of increasing the number of students at Princeton, he pressed so closely his requirements that scores and even hundreds of young men were sent away each year because they failed in their examinations. Yeah, that's right. Why this broadcast doesn't have thousands of listeners is because we press a little hard here. You don't come here if you want to get pablum. You can go to any of the pablum pushers, but here we try and go to a little bit stronger meat. All right? Requires listening and thinking and then your own research on the side. Dropping down a little bit further, Wilson introduced what has been called the preceptorial system at Princeton. The preceptorial system. By this method, every student was brought into close relations with a teacher who made it his business to lead a small group of young men in their work and introduce them to the world of books. These are the reading circles that began. This is the idea that was advanced by Bertrand Russell and his mother and father, Lord and Lady Amberley, and the beginning of the Fabian Socialist Movement with George Bernard Shaw as their hired pen and mouthpiece. But these little reading circles started to pop up everywhere. So much of the modern library, a series of books that I value, was created to address this. This is the idea of the proletarian lessons where you get together and you study these things, reading circles. It's a Fabian Socialist concept. But it's also a pretty good way of going, you know. But the new costs, the new system cost a great deal of money. When we think about it, you know, look at how small the classes are becoming. Well, why? Maybe it's because this particular generation and the one preceding recognize themselves as loiterers. Loiterers having been raised up in the afterglow of the baby boomers' prosperity, they find themselves to be loiterers and spend all the time, as they say, in their mother and father's basement, tippy-tapping on the computer. I don't want to condemn any of my listeners, but, you know, some people are doing that these days. His next reform was of a similar nature. They had grown up at Princeton, an elaborate club system, which was more important to most of the undergraduates than the passing of examinations. And hence you get things like the Skull and Bones Club and the Phi Beta Kappa and the Kappa Gamma Delta Phi McCoy and all the rest of them, right? All these secret societies and fraternal orders. To become a member of one of the clubs was the first ambition of most students. It was kind of like a social event, not an educational experience. Moreover, the social life of the students was absorbed by these clubs. Wilson proposed in 1907 that as soon as suitable dormitories could be provided, all students should live together and have their rooms assigned to them by lot, that they should eat together, the rich and the poor, in dining places on or near the quadrangle, and that the unmarried tutors should live with the students in the dormitories. This reform was aimed at making student life democratic and helped and helpful to all alike. This, too, would cost large sums of money and require several years to become effective. It was, however, too much for the students. Some professors also found the new pace a little too swift, and the alumni encouraged resistance. And then it continues, and it talks more about his experience in school. But from the beginning, he was one of these progressives, all right? From the beginning, one of these progressives. This idea of redistribution of wealth, of segregation, and so on. The segregation of the graduate students seemed to him to thwart the democratic purposes of his whole reform program. The greatest good of the greatest number. All right, this is for philosophical radicalism for you again. The trustees sided with Wilson, and the gift was formally declined. Blah blah blah. In May of 1910, Yitzhak Weissman of Boston died and left a legacy reported to be several millions to the graduate school. Dean West was to be one of the executors of the will. Now we're talking about trusts and trustees again. The will, and he was to use the new millions to carry out his ideals in the new school. Wilson could not refuse these millions, and before this time, the opposition to his quadrangle reforms had assumed formidable proportions. And it continues and talks about this a little greater detail. Drop down a little bit more, talk about his political work. The work at Princeton had made Wilson widely known in the United States as an educator. Before it took its final turn in 1910, Colonel George Harvey, representing the conservative wing of the Democratic Party and editor of Harper's Weekly, inaugurated a movement to bring about Wilson's nomination for president by the Democratic Party in 1912, 100 years ago. Harvey enlisted newspaper editors and political party leaders of the type of James Smith Jr. of New Jersey in the cause. The country was growing restless at the conduct of the Republican Party. Wilson was a progressive Democrat. Going to bring some change, baby. Go on, some change. Harvey and his friends were reactionary Democrats. The presidential election was then 2 years off, and the situation in the Democratic Party was one of great uncertainty. The efforts of Wilson's friends, however, had resulted in making him a prominent political figure, and there arose a popular demand in his home state for his nomination as a candidate for governor. His nomination followed in September of 1910, and in October, the presidency of Princeton was given up. The campaign that Wilson conducted that autumn in a stalwart Republican state attracted the attention of the country. And it continues. We'll pick up a little bit more with his political background, then we're going to go into the World War I period, 100 years ago.
Network. At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about ExtendoVite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure is finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know ExtendoVite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from ExtendoVite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Every day you hear the news. As an American citizen, I'm sure you're concerned. You may even feel like you have no control. Of course, you can't control things like natural disasters or the real estate meltdown, but these days, a number of Americans are returning to the practice of being self-reliant by keeping food and water in reserve. That's why you need BeFoodReady.com. BeFoodReady.com has high-quality, delicious foods that are savable and storable. The foods are dehydrated, so all you need to do is add water. They're made from premium-grade fresh raw fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and other high-quality ingredients. Our stuff is awesome, and it's available in single packets for less than $2 a serving. When you buy it in the packs, it can be 91 cents or less, depending on the package that you're getting. And these foods can be stored for as long as 15 years. Log on to our website to watch a short video, learn about our food selections, how to start your own business, and how you can try 6 meals for free. Log on to BeFoodReady.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so once again, back to this article, rather fascinating, out of the Encyclopedia Americana 100 years ago, looking at the situation that led us into World War I. You know, the similarities, the situation, and if you missed the first couple of hours of Lee Rogers' broadcast last night, it was good. He's hitting it on the money, right on the button, as far as dates and times and significance and symbolism and all of the rest of the stuff that's going on with this bloodletting in Libya. It makes me sick to my stomach. All my life I've been dealing with war after war after war from this country, and I've about got to the end of my rope with it. I don't know how much longer the people of this country are going to continue to allow our nation's leadership, he said, tongue in cheek, to continue on this course. But it has surely worn out its welcome with me. Back again to the discussion. I'll skip some of the stuff about about his elections. These events focused the national attention upon the Democratic Party when it assembled in convention at Baltimore on the 25th of June in 1912. And we're going to have these conventions coming up again. Be aware. As we say here, you know, this is the time to become vocal local. We need to get involved at the local level, your county committee man and your county committee woman. And by the way, tomorrow I'm going to have Tom DeWeese come on from the American Policy Center, and we're going to talk about some of the ideas that he has for political activation right where you are. Like it or don't like it, they're already posting articles on Bloomberg this morning that it's going to take the Republican Party about $590,000 a day to keep up with Barry the Usurper, unless you want to see a couple of more years of him. There is a way to stop that, but it's not going to be done by wishful thinking, and that's for sure. It lasted until July the 2nd and was marked from the beginning by intense bitterness between the conservative and progressive elements of the party. So here, 100 years ago, the Democratic Party was split up over this concept, this division inside of themselves, that they had both conservatives and progressive elements. But progressive is important. It's a word unto itself. It's another symbol in a language study. In addition to Mr. Wilson, the leading candidates were Speaker Champ Clark of Missouri, Judson Harmon of Ohio, and Oscar Underwood of Alabama. Mr. Wilson won on the 46th ballot, largely through the support thrown to him by William Jennings Bryan, another interesting person in history to read. Wilson made an active campaign and was elected by a vote of 435 in the Electoral Congress against 88 for Colonel Roosevelt, they call him here, Colonel Roosevelt, it would be Teddy, and 8 for Mr. Taft, the regular Republican candidate. The popular vote for Wilson, however, totaled only 6,293,019 as against 7,604,000 for Roosevelt and Taft. So you didn't quite get a majority. But the Democrats won large majorities in both houses of Congress, and Wilson entered the presidency in March the of 1913. And so this is much the same way that Obongo came into office here, Barry the usurper, carrying both of the houses with the presidency as he sweeps in. He summoned Congress in an extra session. Come on, Will. But the Democrats won large majorities in both houses, blah, blah, blah. He summoned Congress in an extra session in April. Let's just throw in an extra session, right? We don't get enough trouble out of Congress when they're assembled. All the great committees were headed by Democrats, if not by his friends. He urged at once some of the greatest reforms that have ever been effected in the history of the country. You know, we can look back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt and say, my God, this guy was a real puke, and be right. But you can also go back to this presbyter here and look at this Thomas Wilson and see a great number of trouble as well. So again, he brought in some of the greatest reforms ever. Of even greater importance was the reform of, well, don't skip them, Will. Acting on his recommendations, Congress reduced the tariff from a general level of 45% to 25%. And greatly enlarged the free list, all right, weakening the tariff barriers, opening up the world to free trade. Many economists allege that for the first time in half a century, the tariff was written in the interest of the masses, they say, and not in that of the manufacturers. So it becomes a coin toss. You know, we always talk about, the people will be penalized if we have low tariffs or no tariffs. Well, yeah, it costs you more for your Wally World, cheap Chinese plastic crap. But in the long run, the tariff barrier is successful in keeping our business and our enterprises alive. Of even greater importance was the reform of the national currency system in the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. All right, we're talking about the devil incarnate here, if you want to use that term, by which the control of the money of the country was taken from private hands and placed in the Treasury Department. Woodrow Wilson, not Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Wilson. The country was divided into 12 banking districts, you know, and we have 10 FEMA regions now as well. And the reserves of those districts were placed in certain reserve cities in order that the needs of the country as a whole might be better served. And what had been called financial panic produced by the nervous financial state of mind of New York, the reserve center under the old system, might be averted. Now, we all know, we've all gone out and looked at, you know, From Freedom to Fascism and other books out there. G. Edward Griffin's The Creature from Jekyll Island and earlier works as well. We know that this is just kind of gloss. And even Gustavus Myers, he, you know, indicated that this was the way of writing in his time. This article was definitely not penned by a muckraker. All right? They're giving you the basics and they're putting a happy face on all of this stuff. But continuing. Okay, then the Clayton antitrust and the federal income tax laws of 1914, the former of which definitely settled an old issue, while the latter subjected the incomes of the country to a graduated tax that quickly proved to be of revolutionary character. So progressive is, for Wilson, is just a simple you know, you might as well just take the word progressive and insert socialism or even Marxism, and you'd be on point. Right? Progressive, right. Although the Democratic Party was not in entire accord with Wilson, the Republicans as a whole resisted them with all their might. You just look on the Bloomberg website, and you can see all the resisting that's going on in the Republican Party today, right? He held Congress in a session almost continuously till the Great European War brought about another series of problems before the country. In other words, there was no cessation. Congress was in session, and it was in session almost continuously. But already the Wilson foreign policy was shown in his refusal to allow the Army and the Navy to be used on behalf of moneylenders or investors in Mexico and South America. All of this would need to be tracked out, I haven't done it, in its infinite detail, so that you could weigh the pros and the cons in all parts of it. He even went so far as to say at Mobile in October of 1913 that the United States would never again annex a foot of land against the will of those most concerned. Never again annex a foot of land. No, instead we just throw the borders open and let the Mexicans annex all of Southern America, right? Oh, God. This attitude bewildered European diplomats, and it angered important elements in the United States. Wilson had an excellent opportunity to illustrate his foreign policy in Mexico, where General Huerta rose to the presidency through the assassination of Madero in early 1913. Huerta was favorably disposed toward American investors in Mexico. Wilson refused to recognize Huerta, and by his attitude compelled the overthrow of that leader, only to find that the two Mexican generals who had together fought Diaz and Huerta now fell to fighting each other. Wilson gave his support to Carranza, but the months and the years that passed did not suffice to pacify the distracted country. And in 1916, Wilson was compelled to send expeditions into the country to compel respect for American law and international rights. Compelled to send expeditions, you know, missionaries. That's what we're doing right now. We're sending forth our expeditionary forces into Libya. The Mexican difficulty, however, to compel respect for American law. Wow. In Mexico, a sovereign country. And international rights. Rights. United Nations Declaration of International Human Rights. The Mexican difficulty, however, soon paled into insignificance in comparison with the difficulties produced by the European War, which began on August the 1st of 1914. As we move into World War III in Africa now, on multiple fronts, we drop down a little bit more. While the president was preparing for his first taking of the sense of the country on the policies he had put into practice, this great upheaval set men's thoughts upon other subjects. The election of 1914 resulted in a return to Congress of a majority of Democrats, most of whom were pledged to support his administration. Meanwhile, on August the 18th, Wilson declared in a proclamation to the country that all men must maintain a strict neutrality as between the warring powers. Censoring your political speech. We'll be right back.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So, you know, in the past, I've shared with you extracts from this Bernard Baruch Portrait of a Citizen by W.L. White. It's basically an attempt at a biography, but it's another one of these gloss pieces, much the same that was railed against by our intrepid researcher, Great Histories of American Fortunes, Gustavus Myers, muckraker himself, socialist and populist in his youth. But here, this paragraph or chapter begins in Bernard Baruch's Portrait of a Citizen here. It was really his father, Dr. Simon Baruch, who made the decision for him. The old man knew the son had always avoided public honors, but to be asked to take a trusteeship of CCNY, which we'll come back to later, was something more. It was a duty which could not be evaded. And finally, accepting Bernard Baruch stumbled into a chain of circumstances which changed his life. How else could he have met William F. McCombs, who was not only a fellow trustee, not only the Democratic Party's future national chairman, but a devoted admirer of Woodrow Wilson, who, first with his fight against snobbery in Princeton's eating clubs, and then with his book, The New Freedom, was attracting national praise. There was the further fact that the Republican Party was hopelessly split over Teddy Roosevelt, so the election in 1912, the Democrats would have a better than even chance. It's interesting. Let me say that again more slowly, underline it from a political science standpoint. There was the further fact that the Republican Party was hopelessly split over Theodore Roosevelt, so that, key word, from a writer, excellent at the time, living, so that in the election of 1912, the Democrats would have a better than even chance. All right, so you throw in these ringers, you call up the Coles and you throw in the ringers, you bring in the John McStains and the Sarah Penns, you throw in these ringers to throw an election to a Kenyan, you know, with a very checkered past. Being as polite as I can for the usurper. In the spring, Billy McCombs asked him to come up to the plaza to meet Governor Wilson and Colonel House. That would be Edward Mantle House. A sulfur dome, a racehorse, a gold mine, or a man he wants to see for himself, parenthetically. And he announced the next day that he had met one of the few great men of the world. A judgment which never changed. Okay? One of the few great men of the world. But what's not stated here by the biographer, W.L. White, is who was one of the world's great men? Was it Wilson? Or was it his alter ego, Colonel Edward Mantle House? He doesn't say. A judgment which never changed. On Wilson's part, a friendship began here which outlasted the trust he gave to William Jennings Bryan, to his son-in-law, McAdoo, to Colonel E.M. House, to Robert Lansing, and even to his devoted secretary, Joe Tumulty. And it continues. We'll come back to that perhaps, if necessary. Just kind of putting some more information on the table here in regard to Woodrow Wilson. We can stop anywhere. Let's where we're going to go, Will. Pick it up here. Yeah, let's do that. The Democratic platform, Wilson was renominated. Now, this is his second time around. The Democratic platform simply approved the Wilson policies and asked that he be returned to office on the ground that as president he had kept the country out of war. Right, Barry the Super came in as being the anti-war candidate, right? Wilson was reelected, his plurality reaching 581,941 votes, yet so close was the contest in the Electoral College that a reversal of but 2,000 votes in California would have made Mr. Hughes president. We may have been spared World War I. I don't know. During the campaign, Wilson had said that the role of neutrality had been about played out. I wonder if that thought crossed the usurper's mind as he went to Rio. Ban Ki-moon launches the first United Nations global war. The president's attitude at this time toward the struggle in Europe is best gathered from his address at Omaha on October the 5th of 1916, in which he said, quote, "It will take the long inquiry of history to explain this war." Boy, was that prescient. Sure as the hell has. "It will take the long inquiry of history to explain this war, not only to explain this war, to understand all the details and all the happenings, with all of the censorship and suppression of information in the press that we had to deal with. But Europe ought not to misunderstand us. We're holding off, not because we do not feel concern, but because when we exert the force of this nation, we want to know what we are exerting it for. We want to know whenever we act, what the purpose is, whatever the ultimate goal is." And I would say that all across America this morning and yesterday and over the weekend, we all had that same question in mind. We want to know what we're exerting this pressure for. We want to know whenever we act, what the purpose is. And we want to know the ultimate goal of this action. Read in the news this morning, maybe we'll get to the news in a moment, that these freedom fighters are setting up their own oil company. Wow. In request for the passage of the so-called Adamson Law of the preceding September, he had asked for the extension of the United States 8-hour law to include workers in the railroad train service. A great strike was averted. He was about to make one more effort to bring the European war to an end when Germany on 12th of December asked for a conference of the warring powers for the purpose of securing peace. Germany did not disclose her conditions. Wilson submitted the German proposal to the Allied powers, and the reply was a quick refusal. It was your first opportunity to avoid the war permanently. Germany did not disclose her conditions, however. The reply was a quick refusal. On January the 22nd of 1917, Wilson spoke to the Senate in what was at once called a remarkable address. The principal ideas that later became famous in the 14 points were now suggested to Europe as a basis of peace. So at this stage now, we're moving towards the creation of the League of Nations, which ultimately would become the United Nations. And for anyone that wants to look up Woodrow Wilson's 14 points, they're available on a simple Google search. He meant that he even said that a lasting peace could only be secured by a peace without victory. We've been practicing that foreign policy for my entire life. Peace without victory. Where was the victory in Vietnam? I maintain there was none. Where was the victory in Gulf War I? What, the firebombing of people in automobiles on a road? I maintain there was none. Where's the victory in Afghanistan? Why we're still embroiled. No victory in sight. Where was the victory in Iraq? Well, that's going to be the 100 Years' War. Where's the victory going to be in Libya? Permanent occupation? Some over 700 military bases in the four branches of our military stationed in 130 countries of the world, Japan being an occupied country. With our military bases there, occupied Japan. That never changed. My father was over there. So was my mother and elders. He meant that the bitterness of a war to the last man ought to be avoided. That's the Samson option. That's the Israeli tactic. The bitterness of a war to the last man standing. It's total, what is it, mutual assured destruction? That's mad, right? Mutual assured destruction. His efforts failed, however. On this last day of January, the German ambassador in Washington handed the government a note in which the German government announced the intention to declare a submarine blockade around England, France, and Italy. Funny. England, France, and Italy. Oh, they're part of a coalition going against Libya and the United States and Canada. Of course, they're all busy polishing their warships, and it's mostly just us. But France this time took the first blood. They got the first blood. They sure did. France and Italy warned all nations to beware on penalty of having their ships and their people sunk without notice. Wouldn't exactly say the sinking of Lusitania was a surprise, was it? Wilson's reply was to dismiss the German ambassador and request Congress to declare the country in a state of armed neutrality. Of course, he went to Congress. That was the right thing to do, but we're in armed neutrality. Wow. That's like putting on your six gun and saying, I ain't afraid to use it. Congress failed to grant the request, and Wilson set out about preparing for American entrance into the conflict. Oh, God, it just goes on. More and more insanity. Hour number two straight ahead. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEEDS. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, March the 22nd, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We're coming to you live Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, starting our second hour of today's broadcast. And a reminder for those just joining us, tomorrow we're going to be visited with, joined by Tom DeWeese, the American Policy Center. We're going to get his latest take on all things political and political activation, things that we can do right where we are. He's kind of a second witness, and I look forward to that interview. I haven't spoken with Tom for years. Should be proved to be rather interesting, to say the least. Hope so, anyway. We'll see how it goes. But back to the discussion. Talking a little bit here about, you know, Woodrow Wilson, 100 years ago, heading us into World War I, the creation of the United Nations. Here we are 100 years later, going into World War III and the creation of the United Globe, the New World Order, or ODER. I wrote so many years ago, the New World Order, in 2005. It was a war to make the world safe for democracy. That's right. Wilson took pains to insist the country and all the world that the United States did not go to war for any material interests. Yeah. Or any imperialistic purposes of any or any of the powers concerned. That's right. We don't go to war for any of those things, folks. We're higher than that. We got a higher law running for us, baby. We got a higher God, right? The United States did not go to war for any material interests or any imperialistic purposes of any of the powers concerned. Quote, it was to be a war to make the world safe for democracy. 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 Spreading democracy like peanut butter all over the Mediterranean Union. Democracy. Hear all kinds of stuff about democracy these days. He endeavored to convince the people of the United States that annexations and commercial exploitations were the natural causes of war. Oh, yeah, but we're not going there for any materialistic or imperialistic purposes, right? He sought to impress Europe with the idea that democracy was the only safe rule for governments and that absolute equality among all people, great and small, was the only safe rule of international conduct. The greatest good of the greatest number. The redistribution of wealth among nations and between nations. Right. An English liberal, of all things, has said that, quote, it was like the voice of God talking over our heads to the continent and to the nations of the world. Barry, the usurper, Christ-like. Yeah. An English liberal has said that it was, quote, like the voice of God talking over our heads to the continent and to the nations of the world. The sum of it all was expressed on 8th of January, 1918, in the marvelous address in which the 14 points now so well known to the world were laid down. He wished to commit all men to the freedom of the seas, the Law of the Sea Treaty, the self-determination of peoples, open diplomacy, the freest possible trade among nations, access of inland nations to harbors, disarmament everywhere, and he comes back from Asia with the START Treaty, and a league of nations that should lead and guide mankind into better ways, and Ban Ki-moon declares war on Libya. Upon such a basis would the United States conclude such peace? From public statements of European leaders and from the avowals of responsible diplomats, these points were accepted, although thoughtful men everywhere doubted whether at the end the greater European parties would actually abide by such a program of self-denial.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure is finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Every day you hear the news. As an American citizen, I'm sure you're concerned. You may even feel like you have no control. Of course, you can't control things like natural disasters or the real estate meltdown, but these days, a number of Americans are returning to the practice of being self-reliant by keeping food and water in reserve. That's why you need BeFoodReady.com. BeFoodReady.com has high-quality, delicious foods that are savable and storable. The foods are dehydrated, so all you need to do is add water. They're made from premium-grade fresh raw fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and other high-quality ingredients. Our stuff is awesome, and it's available in single packets for less than $2 a serving. When you buy it in the packs, it can be 91 cents or less, depending on the package that you're getting. And these foods can be stored for as long as 15 years. Log on to our website to watch a short video, learn about our food selections, how to start your own business, and how you can try 6 meals for free. Log on to BeFoodReady.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, welcome back to our Tuesday, March the 22nd, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always lots of news on this broadcast, hard facts when we can find them, and workable solutions where we can find them and when you can find them. Welcome again. A big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri. Micro 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York. Now joining us for our second hour, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 100.1 FM, Austin, Texas. Real Liberty Media, Channel 16, and TalkStream Live. Thank you all for broadcasting Become Vocal Local in our second hour. In the first hour of today's broadcast, went through a little bit of encyclopedia work, just looking into the life of Woodrow Wilson and the similarities 100 years ago to 100 years now. So much from the past, you know, remains the same. We very carefully researched the past. We kind of visualized the future, where we want to go, where we needed to be years ago, but haven't gotten there yet. And then we always find ourselves in the future. Like to use the example of a diving board. You run out on the end of a diving board and you leap up. And you come down, and the moment your feet touch that diving board, that's like all of the momentum, all of the, what do they call it, the kinetic energy, all of the potential energy, all the stored energy of the past, right there. And you allow your muscles to relax, and you come down in, and you just, you know, strengthen up your quads, and you get your calves all going, and your toes are ready. And as that board comes back up, you just launch yourself. And as soon as your toes come off the board, we're always then falling forward into the future. And that's where we find ourselves all of the time. This is where we exist. Everybody knows about the Lord Acton quote, that knowledge is power, right? No, the other one. We've all heard knowledge is power. The other one, the Lord Acton quote, is that power corrupts. That's right. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? And you can make a contraction out of that idea of knowledge is power. That if that's the case, if power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, then does the question is begged that does absolute knowledge corrupt? I say absolutely. Because we get locked in this paralysis of analysis, studying everything that you could ever know. And there's, you know, Goella says, you know, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. You can't learn it all. You can't know it all. Heard a quote given last night on another broadcast. You know, I could ask the audience, I certainly have to ask myself, do I know, do you know all there is to know in this world? If not, if you answered no, honestly, we could ask the next question. Do you know half of the things that there are to know in this world? And if you answer honestly there and say, no, you don't know that, then maybe we could posit or hypothesize that maybe some of the things you've heard on this broadcast are things you haven't known and that you don't know. Maybe some of the things that you can learn from our chatters in the chat room are things that you don't know. Some of that universe of the half of the things on this planet that are to be known or can be known that you don't know yet. And so we all come in a certain state of humility, understanding that we don't know all the things there are to know. But as I remember from the Johnson's Dictionary in 1755, I believe it was when it was written, I have a copy, a bridge copy in my library. One of the words that I found interesting right in the early parts of the dictionary was this term bookful. Bookful. B-O-O-K-F-U-L. This was a word that was pretty well common usage in the time. Everyone understood it. If I said you were a bookful, you would know exactly what I mean. Well, Johnson said that it was synonymous with lumberhead. Lumberhead. Of course, now today we text everybody and everybody's on the internet, so we've lost these words from our language. They've become archaic phrases. What's a lumberhead? Very similar to one that is bookful. We read and read and read and read, and we get all of this knowledge. We pack all of this knowledge up, and it's stacked on our shoulders like cordwood, all these books, bookful. Become lumberheads. But as I've shared with you so many times on this broadcast, knowledge is power, true enough. But lest it be combined with action, it's of none effect. Now, I've also shared with you, and one of these days soon, I'll hopefully be able to bring it on the air, and we'll talk about it in greater detail. But right now, I'm well into the study of a book that was written by Henry Bergson a long time ago, titled Creative Evolution. Now, he's making a struggle point to support this Darwinian and Lamarckian evolutionary theory, but he's coming up with his own idea. I disagree with the basic premise, but it's very good material. He struggles so hard to make his points that he's sharing a lot of things that I can learn from it. One of the things that I came across in the last day or so was this concept where I say, you know, knowledge has to be combined with action. The opposite there that I never thought of until I read the book is that action becomes knowledge. Sometimes we don't know a thing. We're not sure or we're unaware. And it's not until we take action that we actually come into knowledge. People ask me on emails and other on there, what do? We're going to talk about this tomorrow with Tom DeWeese. Hope you'll be with us for the full 2 hours. But what do? Don't know what to do. Don't know how to start. Well, Dorothy, might want to just start someplace. Why? Well, because I could come to town and give a talk or a seminar on how to become vocal local and how to, you know, become politically active at the local voting precinct level and how to build it up from there. We've only got 1,000 or more hours of archives that you can go back and listen to here on the broadcast. But I could come to town and do a 2-hour presentation and thrill everyone with my verbosity, pedantic style that it is. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't know intimately what's going on where you are, right where you are. And it is only until you go out and stumble along and make some attempts on your own. You know, everybody has to stumble and fall. No guarantees on your birth certificate, nor on mine. No warranty that we're going to be successful in everything we try. But until you stumble and fall, until you find out, your action won't create knowledge. It's kind of an interesting sidebar, an interesting twist, I thought. Knowledge is power. Knowing a thing is not sufficient, you must act upon it. But action also can lead you into knowledge. Kind of an interesting parallel in the Bible. I know not everybody reads the Bible, but there's things that can be found in it. One particular section, James, the book of James in the New Testament, faith without works is dead, is titled here. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Is your faith going to save us, folks? Or is it going to be work? We'll be right back.
Know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So one of my favorite quotes posted in the chat room a moment ago by I Am Destroyer, Thomas Jefferson, from his notes on Virginia, 1782. But it does me no injury for my neighbor to say there are 20 gods or no god, if it neither picks my pocket nor break my leg. When we look at the Bible as reference material, whether you have faith or no faith, whether you believe in this or not, there's a lot of good information that can be found in it. You know, you search the scriptures, as they say. But looking at this, 2 James 2:14, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, Woodrow Wilson and the rest of them, we'll talk about a little bit more along that. I've got so much news that I don't even... Today, I'm just depressed. I'll be honest with you. And I was depressed yesterday, and I was depressed on Sunday, and I was depressed on Saturday as well. I've had a belly full, a gut full of the corruption in Washington, the District of Criminals, and in the United Nations, and in globally. This Illuminati bunch of batards has worn out their welcome. I can't suffer another battle. I can't suffer another story about 112 cruise missiles being launched on various targets, and the vast majority are dead women and children. Thank you very damn much. We've got people all across the United States that are unemployed, people who can't afford to fill their gas tanks, people that don't have a place to stay, been thrown out of their house, foreclosed out of their house, and we're dumping at $1 million plus a pop, 112 cruise missiles on some people that have never done anything more than exist. Wow. Talk about the progressives. Woodrow Wilson. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? All your social safety nets. You know. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Well, I don't have to worry. We're going to get raptured out of here. We're waiting for the spaceship Jeebus. Should be here any time. My name's in the book, you know. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee faith by my works. What are you doing to save America? Anything? I advocate the abolition of the established two-party political system, and I've laid out very carefully a system by which it can be done legally, lawfully, and orderly prior to the next presidential election, if we would but try it. I would like to see the restoration of a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, even if we have to go through and redefine each and every one of those terms and relate it to the modern time. I'm not confident that we ever used it. Pretty interesting words, never applied. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, there's a lot of it there. So much news, as I said, I just really don't even want to get into it too much today. In fact, I don't think I'm going to. Spent hours this morning reading the news. It's not good news. it's not good news, and it's a repetition of stuff. There's a lot of people right now angling to profit on this. As I said in the beginning of the broadcast, the marketplace just loves fresh blood. They get on the scent of blood, and everybody just feels wonderful. A blood cult, you know, America. Some say that that's Latin, the love of money. Might be. Certainly seems to be the case. Hate to think it that way. Returning to Paris about the middle of March of 1919, Wilson found the conference had abandoned the League of Nations idea and set about a peace of indemnities, annexations, and reprisals. And so, with all the 14 points and all of the back and forthery that was involved in all of that, he wasn't able to overcome the greed of the black nobility of Europe. Wasn't able to foresee that. Drop down a little bit further. A former senator and a former attorney general of the United States gave it as their matured opinions that Wilson would cease to be president the moment his ship passed beyond the boundaries of the country. It's curious. Maybe I should give you the rest of it. Well, not. I can paraphrase what it was. What was that about? Is it was unusual of the day for the president to leave this country. The president was the chief executive officer. He had ambassadors to go abroad and so on and so forth. The White House was set up as a place to greet ambassadors from abroad and dignitaries, but the president stayed pretty much ashore. Nevertheless, Wilson sailed for Europe on the 4th of December, arriving in Paris on the 14th. He received an ovation that surpassed anything witnessed in France since the days of Napoleon I. In London, a similar demonstration was made when he arrived there just as Christmas, just after Christmas. Early in January, he visited Rome, where he was counted as a sort of Messiah, come to save Europe from the terrors of future wars. These visits were made at the request of the governments concerned and during the delays incident to the gathering of the peace conferences. Wow. There's more to it than that. I guess I'll just have to do the news. Call the numbers 866-841-1065 if you'd like to weigh in on any of the things we talked about. Here's something I'm going to do besides the news. I had this one on my browser earlier this morning. I've heard about this article several times, and I just bring it to your attention. You can find it at the discoverthenetworks.org, www.discoverthenetworks.org/articles/ a strategy to end poverty 2.html. I'll say it again, www.discoverthenetworks.org/articles/ a strategy to end poverty. That's the headline here. A Strategy to End Poverty, a Richard A. Cloward and a Francis Fox Piven. Interesting article back in May 1966, May the 2nd. Cloward is a professor of social work, and Mrs. Piven is a research associate both at the Columbia University School of Social Work. Of course, from Columbia University. Still, Gertrude Lenzer, I believe, reigns there, and her work, if you want one on the topic, her work, Auguste Comte and Positivism, is the best work I've ever found in one place to study the life of times and mind on philosophies of Auguste Comte. But this is a rather interesting article. It begins on this wise: how can the poor be organized to press for relief from poverty? We are at the home of philosophical radicalism. Go back to Jeremy Bentham, The Poor Laws, coming out of England 100 years prior to this time. But how can the poor be organized to do what? To press for relief from poverty. How can you organize the teachers in Wisconsin to press for relief from having to pay a little extra on their benefits and have their collective bargaining right restricted as government servants? How can a broad-based movement be developed? Broad-based movement, Organize America, Bury the Usurper. How can a broad-based movement be developed and the current disarray of activist forces be halted? See, check all the sources. find out all the things that have been tried in the past, and then we find, look into the future, and we find where we are in the present, falling forward into that future. Be right back.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seeds are the long-term survival food solution. Heirloom Organics is the largest provider of 100% non-hybrid seeds prepared for long-term storage. Starting at just $99, the complete survival seed vault contains a one-year food garden for two people. The family, homestead, and farm packs provide for up to 12 people. Go to GetSeedsNow.com. Learn how you can protect your family and community by providing everlasting food supply from your own non-hybrid seeds at GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com. To see our extensive line of specialty seed packs, which include kitchen herbs, medicinal herbs, herbal tea, fruit, tomato, chili peppers, and many others, go to GetSeedsNow.com. Or call 877-980-SEED. Remember, GetSeedsNow.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So once again, you know, this idea of, you know, everything by faith, you know, you've got to be real careful with that, all right? Faith without works is dead, as the Bible teaches here, at least in this version. And there's a lot to be understood in this. But if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? There is a difference between what some would call quote-unquote Christian charity, although that's been dragged into the mud. You know, we're practicing Christian charity now in against Gaddafi in their own country, 112 cruise missiles killing women and children and everybody on the ground. But this article by Cloward and Piven back in 1966, so we're jumping midpoint now. We looked at the 1910s, thereabouts, in the beginning of World War II in 1917, jumped forward in right into the middle of the Vietnam War, just about the time that 42 U.S.C. 1981 civil rights came out, gave everybody equal penalties, pains, taxes, and exactions of every kind. But here we've got from Columbia University School of Social Work, the sociologists, the social workers, human resources department, coming on us and at us. The whole idea is to be understood. How can the poor be understood again to organize to press for the relief from poverty? How can a broad-based movement be developed and the current disarray of activist forces be halted? Needs to be bringing everybody into one camp, circling up the herd, repenting them. These questions confront and confound activists today. It is our purpose to advance a strategy which affords the basis for a convergence of civil rights organizations, militant anti-poverty groups, and the poor. Convergence. This is like common cause, common purpose for the advancement of sustainable development, Agenda 21. If this strategy were implemented, a political crisis would result that could lead to legislation for a guaranteed annual income and thus an end to poverty. That's right, folks. Just take out your birth certificate and look down at the bottom and see that warranty statement. Well, flip it over on the back then and check for a guarantee. You mean you don't have one? I don't either. But of course, everyone can play these days and everyone can win. So we can see that in just 50 short years, these concepts being advanced out of Columbia University by Clark and Piven, they came to pass. Amazing, isn't it? I'll say it again. If this strategy were implemented, a political crisis would result. You know, Rahm Emanuel, a political crisis follows him like a dust cloud follows Pigpen and the Peanuts cartoons, but he never wants to see a political crisis go to waste. We shouldn't allow a political crisis to go to waste in Japan, and we certainly can't allow a political crisis to go to waste in Libya. But if this strategy were implemented, a political crisis would result. In other words, we're going to create it. So we're starting from a synthesis. Now we're going to do the antithesis and then the thesis. We'll find if we have found ourselves right in the thesis. But a political crisis would result that could lead to legislation for a guaranteed annual income. That's right. And everyone can have health care, and everyone gets a Lamborghini in the driveway and a four-bedroom house. And thus, an end to poverty. Redistribution of wealth among nations and between nations. We have to bring down all of the developed countries, throw their borders wide open, allow themselves to be run over by multiculturalism. We need to bring down all of the developed countries and equalize them in the same common misery of a Bolivian peasant, as Dr. Stan used to say. The strategy is based on the fact that a vast discrepancy exists between the benefits to which people are entitled. These are your entitlements. Under what? Under public welfare programs. And the sums which they actually receive. You see, there's more welfare out there that's available than people have applied for. And what a travesty of life that is. That's just not just. It's not fair. After all, the greatest good of the greatest number demand that we distribute this wealth. This gulf is not recognized in a society that is wholly and self-righteously oriented toward getting people off the welfare rolls. It is widely known, for example, that nearly 8 million persons, half of them white, now subsist on welfare. But it is not generally known that for every person on the rolls, at least one more probably meets existing criteria of eligibility, but is not obtaining assistance. That's right. So even though in my own life personally, it is convenient from time to time to take my extension ladder out in the yard and tilt it up against the poverty line and climb up to the poverty line and look out there and see what it's like once again and remind myself what it would be like to live in the lap of poverty, not everyone obtains assistance. Some people are unwilling to compromise their principles for a relationship with the beast system. I don't care whether food stamps are available. I don't care whether housing weatherization is available. If in order to get that benefit, I have to steal from you, My principles say, I can't do that. Thou shalt not steal is pretty easy to figure out. Even for an atheist. The discrepancy is not an accident stemming from bureaucratic inefficiency. Rather, it is an integral feature of the welfare system, which, if challenged, would precipitate a profound financial and political crisis. By God, has it ever. As bankrupt as anyone on the block. The force for that challenge and the strategy we propose is a massive drive to recruit the poor onto the welfare rolls. I was shocked when I read this article. I'm so glad it was brought to my attention. Perhaps you'll jump into the chat room and copy the link off and read it for yourself. The distribution of public assistance has been a local and state of responsibility, and that accounts in large part for the abysmal character of welfare practices. Despite the growing involvement of federal agencies in supervisory and reimbursement arrangements, state and local community forces are still decisive. The poor are most visible and proximate in the local community. Antagonism toward them and toward the agencies which are implicated with them has always therefore been more intense locally than at the federal level. Once again, the idea of becoming vocal local and starting at your own local voting precinct. Right now, Francis Schaeffer Cox is coming under fire for his militia in Alaska. The Liberty Group or Liberty Bell or whatever they have going. Others in other places are coming under fire. Heard about Knott House the other day coming under fire and being condemned for coming up with the Liberty Dollar, of all things. Hey, some people out there just can't stand freedom, all right? They can't stand it. But again, it always starts at the local level. You want to eradicate poverty right where you are? Well, go find some poor folk. Maybe get them to come together and meet once in a while. Find out some of the things keeping them poor. Help them to come to some understanding of how they can rise themselves up from poor to not so poor. Instead of, what do they say, giving someone a fish, teach them how to fish, for God's sakes. Maybe the person's illiterate. Shed a little kindness, share a little spirit. Take an hour out of your life once a week and help the person to read and write. Actually change a life. Not with your checkbook, but with your actions. Not with your faith. The government's going to take care of everything. The government's going to bail everybody out. Government going to pay my rent. Government going to fill my gas tank. No. By your own work. By your own hands. By your own interest. Your own compassion. Your own empathy. The poor are most visible and proximate in the local community. And that's where they're always the worst problem. You know, we don't care about the poor. Long no poor live around here. It's okay. Can't see them from where I live. Public welfare systems are under the constant stress of conflict and opposition, made only sharper by the rising cost to localities of public aid. At one time, the churches were charged with this. That's why people gave their tithes to do good work in the community, not to build Gran Casiandos. For the pulpit panderers. Anyway, we'll be back. More to come on this article right after these words. Stay tuned.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure is finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time.
It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Every day you hear the news. As an American citizen, I'm sure you're concerned. You may even feel like you have no control. Of course, you can't control things like natural disasters or the real estate meltdown, but these days, a number of Americans are returning to the practice of being self-reliant by keeping food and water in reserve. That's why you need BeFoodReady.com. BeFoodReady.com has high-quality, delicious foods that are savable and storable. The foods are dehydrated, so all you need to do is add water. They're made from premium-grade fresh raw fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and other high-quality ingredients. Our stuff is awesome, and it's available in single packets for less than $2 a serving. When you buy it in the packs, it can be 91 cents or less, depending on the package that you're getting. And these foods can be stored for as long as 15 years. Log on to our website to watch a short video, learn about our food selections, how to start your own business, and how you can try 6 meals for free. Log on to BeFoodReady.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
So now let's go on and continue a bit further with this article. Rather revealing, a very interesting article, again, written by a Richard A. Cloward and a Francis Fox Piven. Mr. Cloward, a professor of social work. Mrs. Piven, a research associate, both at the Columbia University School of Social Work, May the 2nd of 1966. And it continues. It says the distribution, a series of welfare drives in large cities would, we believe, impel action on a new federal program to distribute income. This is straight up Marxism, folks. Eliminating the present public welfare system and alleviating the abject poverty which it perpetrates. Widespread campaigns. It's like you create atrophy with this. You're not creating a self-reliant people when you constantly open the door, you know, and shovel food out the back door to all the hobos. All the hobos do is put up little marks between the railroad and your back door so that the next bunch of hobos can find it. And then they tell about your location at the hobo camp. Have you ever traveled the rails? I have. And that's how it works. Everybody that hitchhiked around this country back in the late 60s and early 70s, you get together, you know, and you'd sit on a corner, street corner. I would take my guitar out and play money and panhandle for money. All right. It worked fine. All I needed to do was raise $20 in a day, and I was living like a king on the street. Easily done, too, by the way. Quarters add up quickly, especially if you can pick a pretty good tune and sing well enough. But you'd get together in the parks in the evenings and places like that, you know, kind of like hobo town hills. you go to the used hostels and things like that, and you'd find out about where all the rest of them were. It's like a network. Man, you could just live on the road, live on the streets, live on the rails. Catch a flat car is kind of tricky the first time. But I can tell you, when you throw your guitar case and your knapsack up on that flatbed, you damn sure are going to follow it, or your good stuff's going to go bye-bye, and so you do. Some die in the attempt, but few. Mostly you just get on board that train, ride it on. So the ultimate objective of this strategy, then again, was to wipe out poverty by establishing a guaranteed annual income, which will be questioned by some. Because the ideal of individual social and economic mobility has deep roots, even activists seem reluctant to call for national programs to limit poverty by the outright redistribution of income. Instead, programs are demanded to enable people to become economically competitive. Yeah, we have. We've become so economically competitive in our schools and in our workplaces today that the jobs are fleeing the country. That's right. All of our agencies have helped to eliminate poverty by bringing us all down to the same miserable level. But such programs are of no use to millions of today's poor. For example, one-third, and again, this is 1966, one-third of the 35 million poor Americans are in families headed by females. Yeah. Everybody knows the meaning of the word fornication, right? These heads of families cannot be aided appreciably by job retraining, higher minimum wages, accelerated rates of economic growth, or employment in public works projects. Nor can the 5 million who are poor, nor those whose poverty results from the ill health of the wage earner. Programs to enhance individual mobility will chiefly benefit the very young, if not as yet unborn. Individual mobility is no answer to the question of how to abolish the massive problem of poverty now. Unless we brand ourselves as being, you know, the heartless, and if we forget what we learned reading Gustavus Myers, The History of the Great American Fortunes, if we forget our history of the rise of the Industrial Revolution and the importation to these colonies and states out of Scotland and Ireland, the Irish famines and Wales, and out of Western Europe to these shores, send us your poor and your downtrodden out of Central Europe and out of the Orient, we forget what wage slavery and bonded indebtedness, white slavery, was all about. Always and forever we're directed to the chattel slavery, Negro slavery, but we forget about the vaster quantity of slavery. This is the same sort of a problem that we have to confront every time we intersect with the Holocaust hoax. Yeah. Yeah, a couple people died there, but by golly, I'll tell you what, they died by the droves in Germany when we firebombed them. They died by starvation to the tune of about 20 million in the Ukraine, elsewhere. The numbers of millions of people that the population reduction agenda sent on to their maker in the last 100 years is enough to give you nightmares if you have a spirit at all. But again, these programs weren't seem to do it. Programs to enhance individual mobility. What's that? The bus, you know, free buses, bus passes, Cadillac in every garage. It has never been the full answer if many people in the past have found their way up from poverty by the path of individual mobility. How many times have you heard that? Upward mobility. Many others have taken a different route. Organized labor stands out as a major example. Although many American workers yielded their dreams of individual achievement, they adopted and practiced the principle that each can benefit only as the status of workers as a whole is elevated. Not on merit, but by collective bargaining. They bargained for collective mobility, not for individual mobility, to produce their fortunes in their aggregate, not to promote the prospects of one worker over another. Let's not see any merit on this job. And if each finally found himself in the same relative economic relationship to his fellows as when he began, it was nevertheless clear that all were infinitely better off. That fact has sustained the labor movement in the face of a counterpull from the ideal of individual achievement. And I don't know about you, but you get to the end of the month, maybe, or the end of the year, you know, this being coming up on the time when so many people swear their allegiance and divulge themselves and open their books and records to those that ought never see them in the first place. But I realize, and I remember way back when, as a young guy, starting out on my own, senior in high school, that at the end of the year, you had a certain amount of money left over. And it didn't seem to make any difference how much education I got, no matter how hard I worked, no matter how many hours I put in, whether I was owning my own business and running it or not. It just seemed that at the end of the year, I almost always had the same amount as I started with. The more prosperous you become in this society, the more the tax man, you know, you have to go into bed with the tax man. It was a shock to me when I was running a construction company that I was writing out more in paychecks for all of the people and all of the supplies. You know, like they say, labor and materials times two plus tax, right? Well, that was the goal. But it never seemed to amaze me how I was writing out more money in all those checks to all those people than I had left over at the end of the month. And what am I doing? Why am I knocking myself out? I can do fine with my own hammer and saw, and I don't need all this weight. But many of the contemporary poor will not rise from poverty by organizing or collective bargaining. They either are not in the labor force or are in such marginal and dispersed occupations, such as domestic servants, that it is extremely difficult to organize them. Compared with other groups, then, many of today's poor cannot secure a redistribution of income by organizing within the institutions of private enterprise. A federal program of income redistribution has become necessary to elevate the poor en masse from poverty. 1966. Today we're like trillions and trillions in debt. Bernie Sanders is still sharpening his knives against the bankers, and not he should. Ron Paul was in the news this morning, heading up the Committee for Oversight on the Fed. We just constantly go after the victims, and we constantly focus on the symptoms, and it becomes like a social science. We raise the study of the victims up to the level of victimology. And the symptoms up to symptomology, and we never get and address the disease. Folks, we'll be back again tomorrow with Tom DeWeese. Hope you'll be with us then. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the blahs?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.